Malachi chapter 3. And I want to just read one verse to us tonight. I just want to take this really for a not too much explain the text or the context. It's sort of self-explanatory. In Malachi chapter 3, and Malachi is the last book now, the Old Testament. So if you turn to the New Testament and go to your left, you'll run into Malachi chapter 3, and this one verse. And this is our subject for just a few minutes, the immutability of God. God never changes. What He is now, He always has been and always will be. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I am the Lord. I change not. There's something about two attributes of God that we'll look at just in a second that's different in this sense than all of His other attributes. Most of His attributes you and I can relate to in a sense, to at least to a degree. When God made humanity, He made us in His image. And I take that when He said He made us in His image, He made us one, rational beings. He made us where we could think. He made us where we could reason, we could have knowledge, we had understanding. We're not as the beast. The beast, the fowls of the air, can't reason, they can't know. They live by instinct, basically. But when God made Adam and Eve, He made them intelligent beings. That's His image. And when we talk about the attribute of knowledge, you and I studied a couple of weeks ago on the knowledge of God, that He knows all things perfectly. And there is a sense in which you and I can relate to that attribute, because we know something about knowledge, don't we? We can't relate to Him being perfect in knowledge, but we can relate to God having knowledge. So we can relate to that attribute because we're possessed of knowledge. We think things through. We can reason things. When we think about the power of God, He's the Almighty. I am the Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And you know we can relate to that because we know something about power. I can pick this. That's power, isn't it? We know something about power to live and move about and do things. We can relate to power. Not Almighty power, but we can relate to power. So we can relate to that attribute of God. We can even relate to the omnipresence of God. We can get a hold of that just a little bit, even though we're confined to this one location, this one spot. We can get on the phone and talk to anybody all over the world. Or they set up cameras on our TV sets, and we're present in all different places of the world where that camera is. So we know something about being present at different places in that sense. Now, God is everywhere, and we can't relate to Him as He is omnipresent in and of Himself, that He's everywhere. But since we're here, we can relate to being in other locations by different means. There is a sense even in which we can relate to the omnipresence of God. We can relate to the patience of God. Aren't you patient? Aren't you patient? We lose our patience. We're not as patient as we ought to be, but we know what it is, don't we? We know what it is not to be patient. We can relate to goodness. We know better than to be mean to one another. We know what it is to be good. God is perfectly good. God is perfectly patient. Love. We know what it is to love. We don't love as He loved, but we can relate. See what I'm saying? We can relate to these attributes of God. But there's two things concerning God, concerning His essence, His being, that you and I just cannot relate to. One of them is His eternality. His eternality. He is indeed from everlasting to everlasting. You and I can't get a hold of that. You and I are creatures of time. One thing that we have in common with all God's creatures, There was a time when we began, and there's a time that we die. Some creatures, you take certain kinds of beasts, they live longer than other beasts. Fowls of the air, some individuals, humans live longer than other humans live. But you know, we all have a time to be born, and we all have a time to die. There's but one who can lift his hands to heaven and say, I live forever. And that's God. That's the Lord. He has no beginning of days. He has no end of days. He is indeed the everlasting Lord. I made this little chart here, just drew it up. I was thinking about this today. David said, before the mountains were, before you made the earth or the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And you know something you can't do with eternity? You can't measure eternity by time. You can't measure from everlasting to everlasting by time. I just drew this right before we come down here. I don't know if you can see it or not, but make this out. This is just a little line I drew. Here is the beginning of time. This is the beginning. In the beginning, He created the heavens and the earth. And I thought if the world stands for 7,000 years, right here is the 7,000 years. Right there. 7,000 years. And if you measure the time that you and I live between these 7,000 years, it would be something like that little dot there. See that little dot? It'd be something like that. That's our space between these 7,000 years. But if you had to take this line and go backwards with it into eternity, and take this line and go forwards into the future, everlasting, you couldn't see this little dot. You couldn't measure that dot. It's too small. You'd never see it. As a matter of fact, from this line to this line, 7,000 years, you wouldn't see that either. Because you cannot measure eternity by time. And that's what God is. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Listen to what David said. He said, Lord, make me to know my end, the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Make me to know my end. Help me to measure my days. Let me know how many days I have and how short they are. Help me to measure. And he finished that verse like this. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. That's right there is a handbreadth. 4 inches, about 4 inches. Now I tell you what you could do. You could take that handbreadth and you can measure any distance you wanted to measure. You can measure this universe with a handbreadth. It would be difficult. It'd be real difficult. But you could, because you can measure what we see and know in this world by a handbreadth. You made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. He says, Lord, when I take the measure of my days and measure it with your days, it's nothing. That word frail, make me to know how frail I am, it means vacant. When you have two houses and there's an empty lot between them, that's vacant. It's vacant. And David said, when I consider my days compared to your days, there's nothing there. There's no way I can measure my time compared to your time. Because from everlasting to everlasting. Now you and I don't have any way to relate to that, can we? His eternality. But right along with that is this immutability of God. I am the Lord, I change not. And I think when you look at immutability, you have to first consider His eternality. Because what He is now, He always has been. And what He is now, He always will be. He's not only eternal, but He's unchanging in His eternality. One thing that's so evident to you and I in this life, and it's so sad, really, but we can relate to this almost every day of our life, and that's change. Change and decay, the poet said, all around I see. Clarence, you're changing. Your body's changing. Our opinions change it. Our taste changes. Just about everything we know and see changes. The Scripture tells us not to trust in uncertain riches. Riches are uncertain, yeah. They change, don't they? The value changes. Our cars are rusted. Our houses are rotted. Everything that we know and see is changing. What is man? What is man? He's a changing, decaying creature. Here's what Peter said of him in 1 Peter 1:24. All flesh is grass. And the glory of man is as the grass of the field. The grass withers. The grass withers. And the flower fades away. Everything we know about ourselves is changing. We can relate to that so easy. When we look around us, in the creation, everything is changing. Listen to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10. In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They shall perish, but thou remains. They shall wax old as a vesta. They're wearing out, aren't they? I bet you the first 1,000 years or 2,000 years, they didn't have to use fertilizer on their gardens. It was a rich place. We have to use it now. It won't grow anything, will it? What's the matter with the earth now? It's wearing out. It's waxing old. It's decaying. It's changing. As a vesta shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same. And thy years... See, we can't relate to Him because He's nothing like us. He's eternally different than you and I are. We can't relate to anything but change. And when we begin to speak about one who knows no change, we can't relate to that. God has never evolved. God has never grown. God has never improved. And God will never diminish. Whatever He is right now, at this point in time, He's always been back in eternity. He's perfect. He's perfect. And since He's perfect, He cannot change. He knows no change. He is eternally, eternally perfect. He can't change for the better, can He? If you're perfect, you can't change for the better. And being perfect, He cannot change for the worse. I am the Lord. I change. And since God the Lord changes not, He is immutable in all His attributes. First, we have to establish God in His very essence. What makes God God cannot change. And I think this verse and all kinds of other verses in the Bible establishes that God in His glorious person cannot change. And then, His being, His essence, because it cannot change, His attributes cannot change. And His decrees cannot change. And His purposes cannot change. His purposes are fixed. Listen to Isaiah 46:11. I have spoken it. I will do it. I have purposed it. I will also bring it to pass. That's fixed, isn't it? His purposes is fixed. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11 tells us that He has an eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus the Lord. An eternal purpose. And He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Everything that He has purposed, everything that He's decreed is fixed. It will come to pass. It cannot change. How can that be so? Because He that purposed it is unchangeable. And if He cannot change, what He decreed cannot change. What He purposed cannot change. His will is established. He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Daniel 4 and 35. Romans 9 and 19. Who hath resisted His will? Nobody. Nobody. Why? Because that will is immutable. immutable like Him that will. His word is sure. Brother Larry reminded us this of different times. Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. Till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from that law. See what we do when we establish the immutability of God? Everything He puts His hand to, everything He's purposed, everything He's established, His will, everything that He's wrote in His word, it's immutable too. Not one promise will go unfulfilled. Not one truth will fall to the ground without accomplishing what God sends it forth to do. Let me show you three scriptures. Take your Bibles and look at three scriptures right quickly. Look in Joshua. Look in Joshua, chapter 21. Look in verse 43. Joshua chapter 21 and verse 43. The immutability of His word, it's unchanging. Joshua 21:43, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwell therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that He sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Look in verse 45. There fail not aught of anything which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Now how can that be said? That God spoke in His word what He was going to give them, what He was going to do for them, all the promises that He made to them. He said not a thing, not aught of all He said, fell to the ground. It all came to pass because God is immutable. What He decrees, what He wills, what He promises, it comes to pass. It will not change. It will not change. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. You find it? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. The gospel is not maybe or maybe not, is it? For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in Him was yea. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. All the promises of the gospel are sure. They're based upon the immutability of God. And until He changes, Glenn, the promises can't change. Look in one more place. Look in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6 and look here in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. That ye be not slothful. Don't be a sluggard. But followers, imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee. And multiplying, I will multiply thee. So after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for them, for confirmation, is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing, more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, the immutability of His counsel, of His purpose, of His promises, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth to that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. God is immutable. So all of His counsel and all of His purposes and all of His promises, all that He's promised in Jesus Christ, you can take it to the bank. You can take it to the bank. This is a God that you and I can put all our confidence in. We can rest in Him. We can trust Him. When He makes a promise, He'll keep that promise. He's immutable. If I make you a promise, there's some reason or another that that promise is not fulfilled. There's some reason that I can't fulfill my promise that I made you. I may have forgotten it. I may not have the power to fulfill that promise. I may not have the knowledge. I may not know how to fulfill that promise. But the cause is found in me, not you. Glenn, if I make you an unconditional promise and I don't fulfill it, there's something wrong with me. That's why all the promises that God gives us in Christ, He fulfills all those promises. There's no reason why He wouldn't. There's no reason why He couldn't. Abraham, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he's able to fulfill. His promises is based upon who He is, His ability. And until that ability changes, the surety of the promise cannot change. And God will never change. He's immutable. Therefore, His promises are sure. His Word is sure as God Himself. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all, my hope and strength. The Lord said to Israel, Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Israel backslid. They were cold and indifferent. Didn't bring the tithes. Didn't bring the offerings in to give to the priest there in the temple. But the Lord turns right around in our text in Malachi 3:6, and He says, yet I am the Lord. I change not. You changed. That's what He told them. He says, you've changed. You're cold. You're indifferent. You've left your first love. You've changed, but I've not changed. And because I've not changed, your salvation is secure. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And you and I feel like that so often, do we not? We say, no thanks to us. The Lord is faithful. The Lord doesn't cast us off or turn us out. He's faithful. No thanks to us. To us belongs shame and confusion of faith. But here's our hope. Here's what brings us back. Here's what keeps us, you see. I am the Lord. I'm not like you. I change not. My affections don't change. My love don't change. My promises don't change. My wisdom, my knowledge. Nothing about me changes. Therefore, if I've promised you that you shall be saved in the Lord, then I'll keep my promise. My promise is not based on what you're doing or what you're not doing. Well, when you see that, oh my soul, He'll just bow your heart in worship and appreciation. And the people that see that and keep this before the eyes of their understanding, that's the people that want to be more faithful than anybody else. Oh, the immutability of God. There's something about it that comforts His people and encourages His people. It's this old song in Spurgeon's hymn book. William Hammond wrote this. He said, my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears. but greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fear. Did Jesus once upon me shine? Then Jesus is forever mine. Unchangeable His will, whatever be my frame, His loving heart is still eternally the same. My soul through many changes goes, His love no variation know. Bless His name. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not concerned. Couple of places. Two places. Look in Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8. That's a comfort. God's immutability is a comfort to His children. Encouragement and a confidence to them. But you know that's a terror to the lost. This is a terror to the wicked. Because He won't change towards you either. If you live in your sins and you die in your sins, you'll perish forever in your sins. Some people think that I'll live in my sins, I'll disobey God, I won't come to Christ, I won't trust Him, I won't give myself up to Him. And when I die, God is such a merciful God, I'll cry unto Him and surely, surely, He'll have mercy. No, He won't. He says He won't. And that's the terror of it, ain't it? He says you die in your sins, that's the way you'll remain for all eternity. And I won't lift a finger to deliver you. And if He says that, He won't change. He's unchangeable. Look in Ezekiel chapter 8 and look in verse 17. Then He said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they fill the land with violence and have turned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. You know there's a rich man in hell tonight and he's still crying. He's still saying, have mercy upon me. But God will not extend any mercy to him. Why? God can't change. He cannot change. One more scripture. Look in Psalms chapter 143 and verse 1. 146, Psalms 146. And look in verse 1. 146 and verse 1. Psalms 146 verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise thee, O Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Now here's what the Lord instructs us to do. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, nor in a human being, in whom there is no help. Don't put your trust in men. Don't put your trust in any mere human being, in no preacher or nobody else. Put your trust in one man. The man Christ Jesus. Put your trust in Him. If we disobey God, if somebody disobeys God and puts their trust in a man, they've got nobody to blame but themselves. All of these thousands and millions of people who have trusted the Pope, trusted all these popes, they come and bow and put their trust in a Pope, in a mere man. They trust Jim Joneses. They trust Herbert W. Armstrongs. They put their trust in men. What's going to happen to them? This fellow told me one time, he said, he's a dear friend of mine, and he wasn't a converted man, obviously, but he said, if a man deceives me, then I don't believe I'm responsible. God will hold me responsible. And I said, you mean all these people that are following the popes, these people that followed Jim Jones to their death, God's not going to hold them responsible? He said, I don't believe He will. Here He tells people, He forewarns people, don't put your trust in man. Now, if we put our trust in man, we got nobody to blame but ourselves. If we put our trust in the blind and they lead us, both of us are going to fall off into the ditch. Don't trust in man. He's mutable. He's changing. What he believes and teaches you today, he'll lie to you tomorrow. He'll change it. Put your trust in God, who cannot change. Put your trust in Him who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Son of God. He's immutable. And I tell you what, you put your trust in Him, He'll never fail you. He will never fail. He cannot fail any more than He can lie. He is indeed the immutable God. Ain't that a wonderful thought? The immutability of God. Any questions?